This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, I want to get into some of the audio that happened today from Jerry Jones jumping on with Sean at RJ. We played some of this earlier. It's created a little bit of a firestorm. It's gone viral. This is Jerry Jones, cut number six here, was asked, how do you feel about your current wide receivers, and are you still in need of a number one wide receiver?
Well, first of all, a true number one, you saw one the other night. You see Julio Jones, you see players like that.
Yeah.
They're in my mind. Every team doesn't have a true number one receiver. When you put it in that class, those guys that just absolutely can change the ball game with where they are. And that hasn't been our case for several years here, that we've had a true number one. Not a true number one. And those guys would like to have had one, like to have one, but we haven't. And so having said that, we do have numbers of receivers, and each one of them brings something to the table for us. And can have, if you will, the luxury, but also have the challenge of continuing to see if, in fact, one, two, three receivers will really become indispensable to our playing. Obviously, Beasley has things that he can do for our offense that are very unique. We certainly do miss pass option play that we did with Romo and Whitten, or we did with Jack and Whitten. We missed that. We're trying to get that in other ways. But without having the answer you just asked for, we still have guys that in their way can make the plays for us, and we're continuing to work the passing game. Obviously, we do need to get better in the passing game.
All right.
A lot there.
There's a lot there. But he basically says we didn't have a number one. We haven't had a number one for a while. And so the follow-up is cut number seven here, Shippy. They ask on Sean and RJ, wait a second, you didn't consider Dez a number one?
What I'm saying is that when you just absolutely where did they go to the other night when they had to have it, when it was all on the line? And that's where you went to. And you see that if you team that up, but you can go down to Atlanta with Julio, you can go around to four or five different teams. But if you look around the league, and I'm basically giving you my definition of a number one receiver, and it is Julio Jones. It is the guy we played the other night. It is, those are the guys. There are not but about a handful of those in the NFL.
Okay, so we get to a situation, I think, when he says, where did they go when it's all on the line? And it's just real frustrating because the Cowboys have that player. It's just not a wide receiver. And they didn't go to that player when it was all on the line. You drafted Zeke fourth overall for reasons like last night, like Sunday night, fourth and one right there. And I'm not hovering over the decision. I'm over it now. We're good. We're moving on. But that's kind of what Jerry's saying, though. Game's all on the line. They're going to DeAndre Hopkins. Cowboys game's on the line. They're going to Zeke Elliott. And they didn't when they had the chance to Sunday night.
Right. You know, it's this passing game. And, you know, it's funny. The idea of where, if the Cowboys had a number one receiver, they wouldn't be able to use him. They wouldn't. I mean, if you think about it, I think Cole Beasley was on the field for less than 20 passing plays.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw he had over 30 snaps. So
less
yeah.
than 20 passing plays, and four or five of those are screens.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the play that Cole was wide open on, everyone was like, oh, my God, Cole Beasley's wide open. That was a a screen all the way. It wasn't Dak didn't see Cole. It was like that. Dak wasn't supposed to go to Cole. It was a screen. It was a one receiver option play. I mean, that was the play they were running over there. So if you look at that, so how would a guy like Cole Beasley, who's this team's best receiver, how does he take that from Jerry? He's like, golly, you know. So I'm on the field. They'll say he's on the field for 18 plays that are pass plays. Five of them are screens, so he's got 13 opportunities. Well, if you look at it, the DeAndre Hopkins got, what, 14 targets on the game? So he got the same amount of targets that Cole Beasley got to run passing routes.
Yeah.
Got to actually run routes on. Not targets, routes. So this offense is, if they had a number one, they wouldn't even know what to do with him. There, it is dysfunctional. I don't care if you have a Ferrari, if it's stuck in traffic, you can't open it up. And having a number one receiver on this team wouldn't really do much for you. I think Dez Bryant is close to a number one. If you don't say he is a number one, that's fine. You want to say he's taking a step back, that's fine. Anybody who thinks Dez Bryant wouldn't be the best receiver on this team or wasn't last year, I would strongly disagree with you. And I think opposing defenses would strongly disagree with you. He was still getting double teamed quite a bit last year, even though most teams knew that there was a disconnect there. And look, I'm not one of those guys who's trying to say Dez was a saint. He dropped a hell of a lot of passes, too. It was dysfunctional, and he's culpable for a lot of that.
And it got real bad last year.
It got bad. It got bad. There's no question. But you ran off your best receiver, and then you replaced him with Allen Hurns. You know, Jason Witten retired, and you didn't do anything to replace him. You just rolled with what you have, and you are still a tight end-centric scheme. Your scheme is you don't have three all-world tight ends, but you still run all three tight ends out there a ton, especially the two tight end sets. They're out there a lot, a lot. You are pushing your scheme as opposed to customizing a scheme for the talent that you have, right?
Yeah, no, I think so. And this is, look, they chose Hurns over Dez. They tried to bring in Sammy Watkins, and I need to check in and see how Sammy Watkins is doing this year with Kansas City. But that was the number, quote, in their mind, number one wide receiver that they swung the fence for. I've never seen Sammy Watkins as a number one wide receiver, to be honest. And I'm pulling up his numbers right now. He has 6'11", 7". He's got 20 catches. He'd have more than pretty much everyone on this team and one touchdown. But that's the guy they were going to go all in on was Sammy Watkins. So it tells you how much they wanted Dez out of there. And they tried to get a number one guy in their mind, and Sammy just didn't get the deal done. I just don't. It's real frustrating because there's 90 different things wrong with the offense, and you want to figure it out. I just think the personnel. This is why I disagreed with Dez. Listen to Collinsworth on the TV call the other night. He mentioned how the Texans in meetings mentioned Cole Beasley was the guy that they were really the only wide receiver they were really worried about. So yes, Cole Beasley was double teamed a lot, I would imagine, and bracketed like always. But there were times when he wasn't. There are times Cole Beasley's not the guy who gets double teamed 100% of a game. So like there were times when he should have. There's no excuse for Cole Beasley getting his first target or first ball in overtime.
And how many?
There's no excuse for that.
12. He was out there for 12 to 14 routes that were he could actually catch a ball.
Mm-hmm.
17, 18 passing plays, and four or five of those are screens that's where he's not getting the ball.
Got to be more than that in this offense.
So the guy that the Texans were most worried about only had 12 opportunities in the entire game to do what he does. 12. Meanwhile, DeAndre Hopkins got 14 targets in the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are we really talking about here? It's we're talking about a terrible scheme. We're talking about a terrible scheme. You said Tavon Austin was here because he's a weapon. He's a difference maker. We've seen it. Teams have to worry about him. It opens things up for you. I get it. He's not a guy we saw that you really want him to run standard routes for most receivers. He's a little guy, right?
Yeah.
You don't want him running all the routes. You don't want to throw him 50-50 balls, right?
I do it with Tavon.
He's a little. That's what I'm saying. Tavon. Oh. He's a little guy.
Oh, yeah.
Lil Tavon. He needs to add Lil in front of his name. But he came into that game with six targets on the year. You know, and if you look at the amount of plays that these tight ends have played, dude, Jarwin has more snaps than Tavon. I mean, what the hell, dude? Your second tight end, who probably wouldn't even be in the league if he wasn't on your team, has more snaps than the guy you brought in to be the creative difference maker on your team. That's crap. That is being married to a scheme. Our scheme is the best. I'm a coach. Tony Romo quit audibling out of my calls. You know what? We're going to win because I'm going to coach them up. We don't need talent. We just need good coaching. If these guys, we just need guys who can listen. Roll out all the tight ends. Let's go take the league by storm. And the league's like, seriously? What? I mean, okay, well, we'll just load up the box. I know your tight ends aren't going to beat us down the field.
Yeah, no,
what the hell are we doing?
They have an our way mentality. And always have. Always have in Garrett's, even before Linehan was here. We do things our way, and our way is gonna find a way to succeed. And that goes back to the 4th-and-1 decision. And Garrett's response was, well, this is the way the game was going to work out. We were going to punt. We were going to stop them. We were going to kick a field goal, win 19-16. That's the way I, Jason Garrett, saw the game going down. And you just can't think that way. There are so many ways that a game can go down, so many things that can happen on any given play, so many things that teams prepare for against you. You have to think about other teams all the time. And I'm not saying the Cowboys don't think about other teams, but I am saying that the Cowboys are less concerned about getting with the stick and doing what innovative things than maybe anyone else. It shouldn't feel like every time you do something crazy, it shouldn't feel like it's a thank God we're doing this moment, a validation type moment like that touchdown pass to Hurns was with the double fake. That clearly just felt like a guy saying, hey, look, I can do a trick play too. I can do something creative. See, I did it, touchdown. And it's like, well, you're not doing that very often.
Dude, do the Cowboys want to get creative with Tavon Austin, or do they want to roll their two tight end sets out there more often? Jarwin has 93 snaps. Tavon Austin has 87.
I mean,
Jeff Swaim has 286 snaps.
In terms of their formations, in terms of like successful plays, I know this is, I mean, I'm usually against this. That's their most successful formation.
But that, because that's what they run all the time. I'm talking about
the three tight ends one.
Yeah, give me the 11 personnel. Give me the 11 personnel, spread things out, Zeke in the backfield, no tight ends. I know you're going to be uncomfortable with that, Garrett. Give me four wide receivers, and let's try to air this thing out a little bit. Let's try to create a little bit of space. Let's have some quick passes. Let's spread things out and quit being so damn predictable and quit being so, it's like the idea of putting a tractor out on the tollway. You can't open it up. It's a damn tractor. Your air tight end show isn't going to work.
It's crazy that their most successful formation is one wide receiver and three tight ends. But the same success rate with one tight end and three wide receivers, and about the same success rate with one tight end and two wide receivers. They don't do the three tight end thing as much as I thought they did.
If you insist on having two tight ends on the field so much, then go draft two tight ends as first and second round picks. If you're going to use tight ends that much, you are dead set on being scheme, not talent. Then you don't need a number one wide receiver. You need a number one and a number two tight end. Your tight ends are never going to leave the field. Let's stop kidding ourselves and act like this offense is going to be creative. There's a wrinkle here, a wrinkle there, but the bottom line is there is no consistency with this passing game. One week you come out and there's a bunch of RPOs. Oh, great. You got run-pass options. That's fantastic. Glad to see that. That's creative. The next week you got a bunch of two tight end sets. The next week you got 11 personnel. I mean, do something you do well. Find it. And then build off of that. Create wrinkles off of that. That's how you game plan. This is schizophrenic what these guys are doing.
I think what they do well is put three tight ends in the game and run it, though. That's the thing. They do that better than anything else.
All they want to do, run.
It's not how I would plan things. And to give you a little bit of reference here, I'm looking at this chart here. The Rams have ran one wide receiver, two tight ends. Okay, one running back, two tight ends. That's 12 personnel, two wide receivers, one time with two tight ends. They've ran a play with three tight ends four times this year, okay? The Cowboys have ran that 16 times with three tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be updated after Sunday night's game, too. So there might be a little bit more than that.
How many times have the Rams run 11 personnel? You know what I'm saying? Like, how
yeah,
many
I mean,
time-
that's their pretty much, I mean, the 58% of the time. The Cowboys do that 48% of the time. The Rams have much better personnel. The Rams and Chiefs run one wide receiver, one tight end, three wide receivers, nearly 60% of the time.
Well,
The Saints as well. All the high-powered offenses because they have all those big-name wide receivers.
Right, so. But I don't understand. You ran off Dez Bryant. You said, we don't need him. We're better off without him. You can't all of a sudden say, oh, my God, we don't have anybody. You cut Dez. You didn't want Dez Bryant. So don't give me that crap that you don't have anybody. You got rid of your first-round pick. You got Cole Beasley. The whole world respects Cole Beasley. No one can cover Cole Beasley one-on-one. You told us Deontay Thompson is a speed demon. That's what we've lacked. Deontay Thompson here. Now we got speed. You said Allen Hurns could play every position. He's got position flex. That guy runs every route perfectly. Oh, we got Allen Hurns now. We drafted Michael Gallup. Great. We got a playmaker there. We brought in Tavon Austin. We're going to use him like crazy. We're going to get him, what do you say, 20 touches a game? Then oh my God, beyond that, we got two other ones. We put one on our practice squad, one on IR. We like those guys too. And we brought back Bryce Butler. We love our receivers. We don't need Dez Bryant. Now your offense is crap. You can't throw the ball and you're saying it's because you don't have anybody? What in the hell is going on over there?
Are they saying they don't have anybody though?
Who is saying it?
Oh, no one. Us.
That's what I'm saying. Everyone is saying it. All of a sudden they're like, What do you want? Don't have any talent. What are they saying? Why do you think in their meetings, Jerry Jones is coming on the air saying, we don't have a number one. Steven's been on saying, we don't have guys that can win jump balls.
Their wide receivers, or Hurns was saying that they're getting open.
Right. So is Cole.
So, you know, that's where you kind of go, uh-oh.
I think Linehan needs to be fired. Linehan needs to be fired.
You can't put in a new system in the middle of a year, though. That'd be too much.
You can't. You absolutely can't. I get it, but I mean, at this point,
why isn't Garrett? And I'm not saying it'd make it better. Why isn't Garrett taking over the play calling?
I think
does he have a handle on it? I assume that he would.
I mean, they've already taken it away from him. That's what's crazy. I don't. There's no one over there. If you fire Garrett, you fire Linehan. So Sanjay Lyle's running it now.
They would.
Who's running it? Kellen Moore?
Maybe.
He's 12 years old with a paper route.
This is why I don't think it's some assumption that Garrett's gone, because I think you would see him at least put up a fight for all these losses he's taken and try to be in control. That's why I think he feels pretty safe. I don't feel like I need to go take over the play calling or take over the offense.
Well, if you're frustrated,
maybe that changes after the bye week. Maybe it's just early and all that.
But if you're frustrated with the offense, if you're Garrett, you're like, Jerry, go talk to Linehan. I'm not involved in the offense. I don't know what to tell you, buddy.
Yeah.
That's not me. And Jerry's like, okay, thank you. Keep doing a great job. Keep clapping. I'll go talk to Linehan. Linehan, what the hell?
Crazy, you know, it's like, man. It's not,
you know, if Jerry's upset with the defense, what does that have to do with Garrett? Nothing. Go talk to Rod Marinelli. Go talk to Chris Richard. Jerry, sorry. Yeah, that's right. You're doing a good job. Keep clapping. I mean, what is Garrett doing?
Just hanging out.
That's why he stepped in the other night.
It's his call.
That was the spotlight on you, Garrett. You can't hide from this one. You're not running the offense. You're not running the defense. You're not running special teams. But you sure as hell better be making that decision on whether or not you should punt on 4th-and-1 in overtime in enemy territory. And you stepped in it big time. But I still think it's possible that Linehan gets fired in the offseason, a new scheme comes in, and Garrett's still the coach.
I do too. I absolutely. In fact, I think it's likely.
I hope not. I think it's time to freshen things up. I think it's time for a new message. I mean, I like Garrett. I think he's a sharp guy. Everybody knows him, likes him. He's great. I get it.
We got a long way to go, though. 11 more games.
And that's the beauty of the NFL. Cowboys beat the Jaguars. Wait. Cowboys beat the Jaguars. The bipolar roller coaster continues. Let's start planning the parade route. Let's take everything back we said this week. You guys are awesome. Very excited. It could happen. They could beat the Jags.
I absolutely could.
Yep.
Bortles will lose a game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.